Hear me? Is this on? Should I move it? Okay. Well, I thought I was only going to have to follow Father Mark, but then he read the letter, so I have to follow the patriarch and Father Mark. So hopefully what I have to say is applicable. The March for Life, as Father Mark mentioned, went really well. Especially the die-in. I apologize, my voice is a little raspy. I've been yelling at people, not yelling, but, you know, like saying commands and talking a lot for 2 days. Getting everybody onto the metro and over to the Supreme Court. But the die-in, this year we chose to do the die-in in front of the Supreme Court because there has been just so much hostility there and so much just like angry protesting. And also just because that's really so much is going on there right now with the switch up in justices. And we just felt like that was the right place to do it. And so we didn't have a permit. And Pat Mahoney had taught, we work with him a lot. He has a real good relationship with the police, but he told me, he's like, we don't have a permit. They said they're okay to let you guys, be there. But like, you know, probably only have like 15 minutes. And in DC, when you risk arrest somewhere in DC, or if they're going to arrest you for like a protest or a demonstration, they're very formal. So like you lay down or something and then they walk over and they're like, this is your first warning. If you don't leave, we'll have to arrest you. And then they walk over away for like 10 minutes and wait. And they come back and they give you a second warning and they walk over and they wait. It's very formal. And so like, after the second warning, they say like, okay, when I come back over here, like I'm definitely going to arrest you. So we were just prepared that we told the kids, you know, like if after the second warning, we all need to get up. And, you know, we didn't think anybody would get arrested. We weren't really worried about that. But when we got there, one thing, there were no abortion advocate people there. Like there was nobody there. And in the past years, there's been a bigger and bigger group there and they've gotten there earlier and earlier. When we got there, they weren't there. And really no one was there but us. And we had about maybe 50 or 60 youth with us. And so we get them all spread out and we tell them to die. And we kept waiting for it because we were praying. I mean, we in my mind, I was only going to have like 2 or 3 people pray because I thought we were going to have to get up immediately. And the police just never came over. They just never. And finally, Pat came over and was like, I don't think they're going to tell us to leave. We can either lay here all day or you can get them up in 5 minutes. And so like after about we were actually able to do the demonstration for 15 to 20 minutes like we really wanted. And it was just a time of such like quiet prayer. And in the midst of everything that goes on, I just think it was just a blessing. And I hope it impacted the kids. So they really enjoy doing that particular event. And even our youth leaders, because we didn't do it last year, were like, can we do the die-in this year? So that was really good. And having Bishop Jones was amazing. He did a great job. He kept saying to me like repeatedly, he was like, I hope I don't mess this up. And I was like, as long as you don't say anything other than, you know, just say you're pro-life, you'll be fine. So he did really well. And I'd never heard that story either. So I do want to start with some good news. I like to start with good news. So just for your information, according to the most recent statistics that we have available, the number of abortion clinics in the U.S. Is continuing to decline. We just did this annual survey that I do with Operation Rescue, and so that's how we track abortion clinics across the nation. We contact all of them, and we gather all this information. And so this year, that number fell below 700. So like in 1991, there were over 2,000 abortion clinics in the U.S. And then as of this year, that number is literally 699 or 698. It's right under 700. And that's important because the abortion industry is actually trying very hard to expand, especially Planned Parenthood. They're constantly trying to expand, and they have not in the last, like, I'd say 6 or 7 years especially, they have not been successful. That number has been on a decline, and it has stayed on a decline. And so that is really great news. And then also in America, the most recent stats show that abortion numbers are continuing to decline, okay? And they actually hit an all-time low in 2015, and that's the most recent year that we have the numbers for. It could be even lower than that. So in a sense, like on a national level, it doesn't always feel like it. It doesn't always feel like we're winning, but we are making huge progress and we are seeing abortion literally on the decline in our nation. Now, the abortion industry will, of course, be like, that's because of birth control. But it's far more likely that it's because of pro-life legislation and the work of the over 4,000 crisis pregnancy centers that exist in our nation. Okay. And so also here in Alabama, you guys know that we passed Amendment 2. And so that solidified protection for the preborn in our state constitution. And more importantly, it defeated a $1 million campaign from Planned Parenthood, which I think is really great because that's like, that's a real David and Goliath thing. Like nobody thought that was going to happen. You know, they brought that money at the last minute. We were like, oh no, they got these ads and they're all like, really, really well done. And even people, even pro-life people I know were asking me about the ads, like, hey, is this true? And I was like, no. So that was just amazing. And then also there was an article actually just in AL.com this week that highlighted the fact that in Alabama right now, we only have 3 operating abortion clinics. We have 5 licensed. Now the 2 that are not operating, you guys know, are the Planned Parenthood in Birmingham and Mobile. And then also in that article, I didn't really realize this number, but it talked about how in the year 2000, there were 13 clinics in the state. And now we are operating, just 3 are operating. Okay, so that is amazing progress for our state and for our nation. But of course, what's the bad news? The bad news is that children are still being aborted in our nation. And it's legal and it's government funded. And so though we've seen these incredible victories and we've made really important life-saving progress that we should definitely celebrate, those aren't the numbers that we look at every single day, at least not at CEC for Life. So for example, tomorrow in Alabama, statistically speaking, 16 children will be aborted. And that'll go on every day, all week, all month, and all year. Okay. But that's really the burden of pro-life work in a sense is that, you know, we hold on to these victories and we embrace the joy of knowing that some children's lives have been saved. Like when we're in DC, the March for Life is kind of a joyous like event. We celebrate life, we come together, but there's always the sorrow of knowing that the reason we're coming together is because we're fighting abortion. So even though we have these victories, we can only really stop there for a moment. And then we have to get back to work to try to save the other lives that haven't been protected yet. And so you guys are all part of that work. And when I say you guys, I mean Church of the Reconciler, but I also mean the CEC as a whole. That's why we have this feast day. It's to remind us all that we have chosen together intentionally as a church family and as a worldwide communion to stand for life and to celebrate life and to definitely fight for life. And so in just a little while, you know, Father Mark, I'm so glad he read that letter. The patriarch writes that letter himself, just so you know. One of his deacons didn't write it and then stamp his name on it. He's very articulate and he has such an incredible understanding of the abortion issue as like a global problem. And so I'm really glad that he read that. So in a little while, we'll have the opportunity to give a special offering. And as Father Mark explained, that offering goes to CEC for Life and we use every single bit of it to literally move this entire globe towards and into abortion, right? Like that's a very lofty goal, but that's really ultimately our goal. If somebody says like, well, Sarah, what do you do for a living? I try to end abortion. In your city? No, everywhere. That's our goal. And so how do you do that? Literally one battle at a time. And right now, our big battle, as you guys know, is over there on 1019 First Avenue North. That's where Planned Parenthood hopes to build this brand new facility. And that facility is designed to kill children because they can't kill any more children at their old building, so they have to build a new one. And that's the reality of what's going on in our city right now. And so there's nothing more important to CEC for Life right now than standing against this facility. And we really, really need your help, not just financially. Like we need you and maybe every friend you have in the Birmingham metro area. Like we need everybody involved. And so Father Mark actually asked me a few weeks ago, like what are some things that local people can do right now to try to stop Planned Parenthood from being built? And so he asked me to kind of talk about some of those things. And so I have a couple of things to give you. But I just want to make sure we're like all on the same page. So most of you know all this information, but just to keep you up to date, Planned Parenthood, as you know, they did purchase the new property And they have actually put their current building, at the end of last month, they put their current building up for sale through a real estate company called South Pace. So then on November 28th, they had a quiet little groundbreaking ceremony at the new property. Quiet because if they had announced it, we'd all been there with signs protesting. They didn't want that, so they just didn't tell anybody. We only found out because a pro-life person that works in the building across from there called their husband and was like, hey, everyone's out there with pink hard hats on. And it was like before any of us found out, it was already over, so we didn't even get to go. But they've also put fencing up around the land. A couple weeks ago, Father Terry saw some contractors out there. And then while I was driving home from D.C. yesterday, one of the pro-lifers here that's on the sidewalk sent me photos, and they do have machinery on the ground there. The supplies are there. So the reality is that they are building this building. They are starting to build it. They're determined to build it. And so here's an action item that you guys can do. Father Terry and I have been asking people to consider going out to pray and hold signs on the sidewalk in front of this new property to get a prayer presence actually out there on a regular basis. So whether it's a Saturday or a Wednesday, or if we all get together and make signs and go out on one afternoon, one day would be better than no days. And it's just, it's important to be out there for a couple of reasons. One is that, of course, prayer is crucial, right? I mean, you have to, everything should be covered in prayer. But prayer on that sidewalk is so powerful, right? And if you think about why do we lay hands on each other when we pray? And why did Jesus come as a physical man? Like the physical is related to the spiritual. In that, that's how the world was created, right? And so when we're the church, we are the spiritual and the physical presence of Christ on this earth. And it makes a difference when we carry that presence to a specific area. And so that's one of the reasons. Another reason is that a presence on the sidewalk really alerts the community around it to what's going on. People that are driving by and the businesses around it, it lets people know. And that's really important too, because you don't know the heart of those people that are around there. And you don't know what connection can happen when they realize an abortion clinic is being built there. Some people might ignore it, but some people, it might just bother them. The Holy Spirit might just like really get in there and it just bother them and move them to action. Okay, so you never know when that's going to happen, and you need to create that opportunity. And then the third thing is that when these construction workers start arriving, it absolutely reminds them of what it is they're doing. They are building a building where children can be killed. And that is not an unkind thing to do, by the way, because in our society today, it's like a prevalent idea that if you disagree with someone, you're being mean to them. If you challenge what they think, you're being mean to them and you're being intolerant, you're being angry. But Proverbs 4:15 says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not proceed in the way of evil men." To advise someone to turn aside from evil or to point out that they're cooperating with evil, that's not unkind. In fact, it's the kindest thing that you could be doing for them. And you can absolutely do it in love, and you have to do it in love. It should be done in love, and it should be done on that sidewalk every chance we get, okay? So that is the number one thing that we need right now. We need to get a presence on that sidewalk. So if you are interested in that, you think you want to do that, if there's anything in your heart where God's like, yeah, that's a good idea, like come and talk to me and we will get that organized, okay? And another thing you can do that people don't always think will make a difference is that you can write a letter to the mayor and the Birmingham City Council. You can tell them that we don't need Planned Parenthood. You can reveal the history of Planned Parenthood. You can ask them to protect children and mothers in our city and just stop the construction of this building. And you can also write a letter to Lubin Enterprises, which is the name of the company that's on the permit. You can do the same thing. It doesn't have to be a long letter, and it needs to be a respectful letter, but you can ask them to end their involvement with Planned Parenthood and remind them that children's lives will be violently ended within the walls of the building that they're helping build. All right, and ask if they want to be a part of that. You could do the same for South Pace Realty. Any of these companies that are involved, you can write them a letter. And you know, a few years back, Planned Parenthood, a lot of you might know this story, but Planned Parenthood was going to have this fundraiser. They used to have this fundraiser every year called the Birds and the Bees fundraiser. And so, you know, we never really protested it or anything, but this one woman on the sidewalk one year found out about it because it wasn't really in our, like, peripheral, I guess. And so she was like, this fundraiser is happening in Mountain Brook. We should totally protest it. And so she found out who the caterer was. And so I don't know how many other people did. I wrote a letter to the caterer, just me on my own. And then some other people had contacted this caterer. And so what ended up happening was she backed out, like last minute. She backed out of the fundraiser. Well, so they had to find another caterer. And as someone who organizes events, let me assure you, that would stress me completely out. Like, I would be very, like, that would be terrible if at the last minute something that important just was not there. So they found another caterer, and they had the fundraiser. But we went and protested that fundraiser, which was interesting because I don't think Mountain Brook has seen a lot of protests. And they were very shocked that we were there. And so... And so the next year, they had to find a new building. They weren't able to use that building in Mountain Brook, so they moved to Homewood. They thought they'd be safer in the city hall because that's like no one can tell them they can't meet there, right, because that would be discrimination. And that place had a caterer who was contracted with the city hall. And so we found out who that caterer was, and we contacted him, and he said, you know, I have this contract. I don't know. I can't back out of it. But people kept contacting him. And he backed out of that contract, and so they had to find another caterer. And then we went and we protested again outside, which was really funny because the cops, there was a lot of debate about where the public sidewalk was, and the cops put up these, like, tiny, like, little tiny cones. I don't know if anybody went out there with this, but there were, like, 50 tiny cones, like, lined up. And they're like, you can't cross this line. And so Father Terry and I weren't the direct organizers. We would have just crossed the line and been like, whatever, this is a public sidewalk, but... But the people that were organizing it were like, no, we're okay here. So we didn't challenge it. But the next year, Planned Parenthood didn't have that fundraiser. They've never had it since. Okay, so that it makes a difference. Like, just a letter can make a difference. When we went and stopped Ivan Diamond from doing abortions at New and All Woman, Marion was with us. And I think it was her first pro-life thing she'd ever been to. We took her with us to Atlanta, Georgia, and we had written them a letter. And we had told them that their doctor was doing abortions in Birmingham. And they never answered us. I tried to call, gave us the runaround, you know, never would answer us. And then when we got there, we went upstairs just to tell them we were there. We were like, hey, we're here protesting because you didn't answer our letter. And the woman that we spoke to was like, oh, we got a letter. And she was like, and that doctor will no longer be doing abortions. It was the easiest protest we've ever done because we didn't even have to do it, right? So it makes it like you have a voice that you can use in a lot of different ways. And so it, even if you think about it, to me, like the New Testament is mostly letters, and those change people's hearts all the time. So a letter can change a heart or change a circumstance. And so don't like brush that off as something that maybe that won't make a difference, because you just don't know what words God is going to use to speak to somebody's heart. All right. So I got ahead of myself in my notes. All right. So there's some other things happening too. I wanted to tell you some of the other stuff that's happening that we've done. So like last month, we sent a letter to over 300 pastors trying to get them involved with the campaign. That is a very difficult struggle. It shouldn't be, but it is. Actually, the March for Life, when I spoke in Birmingham, I had a lady come up to me after and shake my hand, and she thanked me for my talk, and then she actually said to me, you'll never get my pastor, but you have me, and that's just as good. And I was like, wow, that's rough, because you guys, we are blessed. Like, we are blessed that we have a priest who really, like, who attends the events, who's out on the sidewalk, who understands the importance of fighting for preborn children. All of our priests have been involved, all of our clergy. Like, that is rare. And even the CEC as a whole, the fact that our patriarch is willing to write this letter and encourage everybody to keep standing for life and to participate in the feast day, like, that doesn't exist in other churches. It's extremely rare, and it's extremely hard. But we put the invitation out there. And so hopefully what our goal is to actually organize a citywide pastors meeting to get some of the spiritual leadership involved in this campaign, and we just pray that God blesses it, you know, even though we sent out those 300 letters and haven't really heard a response yet, but I'm a pretty determined person. So the letter was just the first step. You know, there'll be phone calls and stuff later. So that's one thing that we're working on. And then we're also working with the Life Legal Defense Foundation, who we've worked with the last two clinics that we were shutting down. And so they're helping us to put pressure on the Department of Public Health to revoke Planned Parenthood's current license. And we want to do that because that'll make it harder for them to get a new license. Right now, they're just holding on to that license so they're in good standing so that then when they want a new one, because they have to get a new one for a new building. That's the law. They have to apply for a new license. But if they already had a history of a revoked license, that would give the public more leverage to say, like, why are you licensing them again? You've already revoked them. And that's why they want to hold on to it. So that a lot of that kind of stuff is really like behind the scenes. It's not something that maybe that you would be directly involved in, that actual action of speaking with Life Legal. But there will be other activities involved with that that come up, like when we ask for people to just call the Department of Public Health, or if there's a day that we're rallying, or if we ask you to write letters or emails. Like, those are the things that you can do. And the more people that do those things, the stronger the voice of this campaign is. I think that people get a little bit cynical about the government process, and it's just very easy to be like, oh, my voice, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter if I call them. And it does. Sometimes it's a slow process, but those people that are meant to be public servants, like when the public starts voicing their concern, it does make a difference. It does create pressure, and it creates pressure because then if they mess up, then like now their job's in trouble, right? Because God forbid that a woman is ever injured in an abortion clinic. We don't want that. But the sad truth is that because state departments don't regulate them, that's exactly what happens. And so when you have this foundation of the public calling for the closure of something, for the closure of an abortion clinic, and then a woman does get hurt, then you can say, look at what happened. Do you understand? This is what we were trying to avoid. And because you won't do your job, now a woman has actually been injured. You know, and so that's actually part of how we shut down New Woman All Woman. We were constantly asking them to go in there, and then some women were actually injured, and we were able to file a complaint and get their deficiency report. So your voice as a citizen, especially at a city or state level, it really, really resonates. Okay. So when we do something like that, when we send out an email and say, hey, can you just call the Department of Public Health today and tell them you don't understand why they haven't shut down Planned Parenthood, just take 5 minutes to do it. It'll make a difference. You know, they might even tell you they're not taking calls anymore. They've done that before with other groups that we've worked with in other states. Like, they'll just be like, our inbox is full, and like not talk to you because so many people have called or something. So we use these different approaches, and a campaign like it has a few different approaches that we're doing all at once. And so we have the public awareness, where you're making people literally aware of what Planned Parenthood is doing, right? And then you have public pressure, and that's organizing the people who are now aware to effectively voice their concern to the city and the state. And so then, that's where you guys are coming in, right? And then we have this legal pressure, like with Life Legal, this pressure to utilize laws for our state departments, to utilize the laws that we have and enforce them, because Alabama actually has a lot of pro-life laws and a lot of laws that could easily shut down an abortion clinic, but the Department of Health is really good at wriggling out of having to actually enforce them. And so that's another like pressure point. And then you have basically legislative change, where you're creating new laws that can better protect preborn children and women in our state, right? So, like, you know, a couple years back when we passed HB 57, that bundle of laws, now some of those end up in federal court, and we have one particular judge who often blocks them, but some of those are still in play, and you just have to keep working towards that enforcement. So those are all like different approaches that we take for this campaign. And when you do all that together, that's how you create a way for like that clinic to be shut down. Okay. So it's just so many different aspects that we try to organize and keep going. And then we just submit them all to the mercy and favor of God, and we cover them in prayer, and then we watch God bring them all together to effectively save lives. So that's our basic plan, right? We do all these different arenas, and we just put them all in front of God and say, okay, Lord, we have done the work. Like, we have done the footwork, please. And so, you know, God in his mercy often will act on our behalf. And there was actually a day on the sidewalk at New Woman All Woman years ago, and some of you might have actually been out there with us, But we had like a Catholic group out there, and they were over there praying the rosary. And then we had come to pray the liturgy for the preborn. So our group was there. And then Bound for Life was out there, and they have like the life tape, and they were, you know, sitting and praying silently. And then this Latino church showed up, and this guy with the guitar, they were like singing worship songs in Spanish and like praying in tongues. I had no idea what any of them were saying. But it was like, it was just like this. All these different groups, all these different approaches to just prayer, just bringing this one truth to the sidewalk. And so, like, that's the picture that we're always striving for. And everybody has a part to play in this campaign. You young people, even you guys, have a part to play. You can write a letter just as easily as anybody else. You can pray just as hard as anybody else. You don't have to be a grown-up to do those things. And so, Hudson Taylor has this, he's a missionary that opened the inland of China. I don't know if you know who he is, but it's one of my favorite missionary stories. And he just had this incredible amount of faith. Like, he just believed for things that just weren't even there, and God would act. And so he has this quote where he said, "There are three stages of every great work of God. First, it is impossible. Then it is difficult. Then it is done." And when we come to a campaign like this and this idea of shutting down Planned Parenthood, like, that's kind of a quote that I hold on to, because I've seen it play out. And so have a lot of you. We literally had like, what, 7 abortion clinics in this city at one point. And now we have just one, and it's not even operating because it needs a new building, and it hasn't even gotten that building built. And then even, you know, in here in Alabama, there were 13 that were in the state of Alabama, and now only 3 are operating. Like, that's the impossible. So we're like, first it's impossible, then it's difficult, then it's done. So we're like between the difficult and done stage right now. Okay. And so we could be done. Like, we can close Planned Parenthood. It's not an impossibility. Okay. And so I want each of you to make an offering to CEC for Life today. And the donations that are collected will literally fund our work throughout the year, okay? We couldn't save a single life without your assistance. But I also want you, as the people of Church of the Reconciler that live here in Alabama who are facing this specific battle, I want to challenge you to make a different kind of offering and to offer yourself to the Lord and simply ask, what part can I play in this campaign? Like, maybe when you come up for Eucharist, just say a prayer and say, Lord, show me, how can I be involved in this campaign? What is the seemingly small thing that you will have me do that is going to contribute to our greater goal of not seeing this clinic open? Okay. And I think it's awesome to think about, I said this to the youth when we were at the die-in, but on a smaller scale, it's just awesome to me to think about how many different places we all came from, like how many different walks of life we've all had that have somehow led us to be in this room today at this church, believing for the end to abortion in our city. And Father Mark talked about a bucket list. My bucket list, my only New Year's resolution that counts, is that I want to see Planned Parenthood not operating in my city. Like, that would be my bucket list, to see the last clinic in this city finally close down, and to know that God was able to use me to do that and to use our church to do that. So that's really the work of all of CEC for Life, is to save human lives. And so just to know that God brought us all together and that he brings us together so that other people can literally live, so that they can have the same kind of journey. Like, that just amazes me, the way God has used the church. So that's really the word I have for you today. And I love you guys as my church family, and I want you very much to participate in the offering. And then I want us to just shut down Planned Parenthood together. That's my heart right there. So thank you guys.